out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 7th of May 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about censorship of art and how it's mainly carried out by the Semitic races, Jews and Arabs. And the first instance that we're going to talk about is a recent cartoon that appeared in the New York Times. I suspect quite a few of our listeners will have already seen it. It depicts Donald Trump with a Jewish kippah on his head, that funny little hat that the Jews wear. And Trump has the sort of glasses on that blind people have on, and he has a cane. And he's being led by a guide dog. And the guide dog is obviously Bibi Netanyahu. And the guide dog has a blue Jewish star on the collar, just to identify the fact that it's Israel. It's Israel that is being criticized here. It's saying that Donald Trump's foreign policy is being led by Israel and that he doesn't have a clue himself. That's why he's got these blind glasses on and this cane. Now, that is quite obviously a criticism of Donald Trump, and it's not really a criticism of Israel. I mean, it's saying that Israel are leading America, and you can't really blame Israel for taking advantage of the situation that it has with America. I mean, it's wrong. Obviously, it's wrong. Israel has a massive amount of influence on American policy. But you can't say that you can't blame them for doing that. I mean, obviously, they're going to look out for their own interests. It's just it conflicts with our interests. But of course, it's been accused of being anti-Semitic when it's not. It's just critical of Israel. And this highlights the ridiculousness of the whole concept of anti-Semitism, and especially the way that it's been enlarged to now mean criticism of a country. And of course, this is helping to wake people up to the fact that this whole concept of anti-Semitism is just a scam to prevent people from legitimately criticizing the country of Israel. And this report comes from the Jerusalem Post. Antonio Moreira Antunes, the cartoonist behind a recent controversial caricature in the New York Times, told the Jerusalem Post on Tuesday that he does not understand how people view his work as anti-Semitic. Antunes has served for several decades as a cartoonist for the Portuguese newspaper Expresso. Last week, a cartoon he drew of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and US President Donald Trump was reprinted in the international edition of the New York Times, igniting a firestorm of controversy. The Times at first deleted the cartoon from its syndication website, saying it was offensive and that it was an error of judgment to print it. But the paper later offered a full apology, saying it was deeply sorry and that we are committed to making sure nothing like this happens again. I mean, that's just shocking that they are committed to making sure that nobody criticizes Israel, even in cartoon form. But thankfully, the artist himself, he's refusing to bend the knee. Antunes, for his part, was unapologetic on Tuesday. Trump's erratic, destructive, and often blind politics encouraged the expansionist radicalism of Netanyahu, he wrote in an emailed response to questions from the Post. to illustrate this situation. An analogy occurred to me with a blind man, Trump, led by a guide dog, Netanyahu, and to help identify him, little known in Portugal, I added the Star of David, the symbol of the State of Israel, and essential element of its flag. And here we go. I mean, this is the central element of the Jews' flag, and yet they kick up a stink every time anyone associates the flag with an image of them. And this is so ridiculous. Would British people get upset if there was a caricature of a British man with a Union Jack there? Or do Americans get upset if there's a caricature of an American with an American flag, which is there to help identify them? Nobody would get upset at this. And again, this really does serve to wake people up to what's really going on here. Antunes did not explain why he drew a kippah on Trump's head. Well, I can explain that, because he's showing that Donald Trump is sucking up to the Jews, sucking up to Israel. He also did not respond to a question about the reactions of either the Times or his employer, Expresso, to the cartoon. Well, I can explain the reaction as well. The reaction is due to the undue influence that Jews have on publications like the Times. So, of course, he's not going to comment on that. If he comments on that, he'll be accused of anti-Semitism, even though it is absolutely true. Previous criticisms of Jews that are absolutely true are now described as anti-Semitic tropes. So you're not allowed to say them. Jews are allowed to say them. Jews are allowed to boast about the fact that they run the Hollywood industry, the fact that they are responsible for bringing gay marriage in, the fact that they're responsible for most of the pornography. They boast about these things. But if a white man is to say that, that suddenly becomes an anti-Semitic trope, even though it's the truth. And of course, these are all now a part of the new international definition of anti-Semitism, which Labour have accepted and which most of America have accepted. The artist continues, "I do not seek controversy," he wrote. "I try to make critical cartoons of situations that seem to me to be wrong, unfair, and undemocratic. I have already made drawings on the politics of my own country, and Spain, France, Russia, Italy, Iran, China, Saudi Arabia, USA, Brazil, United Kingdom, North Korea, etc." Exactly. So why should Israel be given some special treatment where it can't be criticised, it can't be satirised, you can't make cartoons out of it, can't make jokes out of it? They have to have this special position where they can't be criticised. They have to be looked at as some kind of idol, and that it is blasphemy to make jokes about them. I mean, it really is, you know, it's not a joke to say that Gentiles are worshipping the Jews. I mean, if you make it illegal to make jokes about someone or to criticise someone or a country, I mean, that is worship, really, isn't it? We're worshipping the Jews. The West are worshipping the Jews, and they just don't see it. And they call for more of it. And they accept it. And the majority of people think it's absolutely fine because they don't realise what's going on. But incidents like this, where he gets criticised for it, where a cartoonist gets censored for it, that does wake people up. But the problem is, his response here is being reported on in the Jerusalem Post. I've no doubt that his response will not appear in the New York Times, and most Gentiles don't read the Jerusalem Post. Antunes bristled at the notion that his cartoon would be viewed as anti-Semitic. "What will be the reason why I cannot do a critique of Israeli policy without being immediately categorised as anti-Semitic?" he wrote. "I have nothing against the Jews, but I have many things against the politics of Israel." And this is exactly what the Labour Party are facing. They criticise Israel, and then they get accused of being anti-Semitic. Despite Antunes' denial, the Times called the cartoon anti-Semitic, as did the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Committee, and a slew of US congressmen and media figures, as well as Trump himself and US Vice President Mike Pence. Well, why doesn't that surprise me? at all. And again, this highlights the problem with allowing the so-called victim to define what is anti-Semitic or not. I mean, the Times have called this cartoon anti-Semitic because the ADL told them it was, and because the American Jewish Committee told them it was, and that's why the US congressmen have gone along with it. So what we have here is you basically have the Jews sitting there as judge, jury, and victim. They get to be the ones to decide whether it's a crime or not. They get the ones to decide what the punishment should be. And they're also, at the same time, claiming that they are the victim. And the whole concept of anti-Semitism does away with all the foundations of law. It's madness. And finally, more than 35 years ago, Antunes also drew ire from Jewish groups with a caricature relating to the First Lebanon War, which depicted IDF soldiers as Nazis. That cartoon won him an international prize in 1983, despite outcry from the Jewish community, which I do find to be quite funny there, because this craze for handing out prizes and having award ceremonies, I mean, that is a Jewish concept in the first place. I mean, white people just do the best that they can anyway. You don't need to be given awards. And these award ceremonies are usually to cover up people that actually haven't done very much, and to con the public into thinking that they are wonderful people, like the Nobel Peace Prize being handed to people like Obama or that girl from Pakistan that got shot. And I hear they're probably going to give it to Greta Thunberg now, apparently. So well done for him for winning a prize. And of course, this idea of portraying the IDF soldiers as Nazis, again, that's another one of these listed anti-Semitic things to do. But there are so many policies of Israel that have parallels in National Socialist policies. And just the citizenship requirements for Israel are the same as the citizenship requirements for the National Socialist State. To be a citizen of the National Socialist State in Germany, you had to be by blood a German. To be a citizen of the Israeli state, you have to be by blood a Jew. And they do DNA tests to confirm that. But of course, saying that is now anti-Semitic. It's all a huge scam. Now, I said that we would also be talking about Arab censorship of art. And there is just as much censorship that goes on. I mean, it's really only the Muslim calls for censorship that we hear about, because of course the people then that are being censored, they run the risk of being shot or beheaded or stabbed, and riots could happen in the places where these Muslims are. But obviously, that is more violent, more dangerous. But with the Jewish calls against anti-Semitism, people can lose their jobs. It's now a crime in some places, so they could end up being in prison. Obviously, the Jews want it to be like it was in the USSR, where it was capital punishment for criticizing the Jews. You would get executed, which, of course, is what the Muslims just seem to want to carry out anyway, if anyone blasphemes their prophet by daring to draw him. And in this instance, it wasn't even somebody daring to draw Muhammad. The Saatchi Gallery has covered up two pieces of artwork after complaints from Muslims that they were blasphemous because they contained text from the Quran. That's all. They just reproduced some Arabic writing, and that's deemed a blasphemy. And a gallery in a white country has chosen to cover this artwork up with carpets or rugs or whatever it is. The pictures depict Islamic script, including the Shahada, the Muslim declaration of faith, on top of nude images. The work, by an artist known as SKU, aimed to highlight the distinctions between Islamic extremism and the United States. And I do wonder quite what he was trying to show there. Maybe he meant obviously the Islamic extremism was being represented by the Arabic writing, and the United States was being represented by nude images. And I'd say that's probably quite correct, actually. I represent the United States by pornography. And it is the world's foremost producer of pornography. Although, as we said earlier, something like 99% of the actual pornographers themselves are Jews. The paintings were part of an exhibition entitled Rainbow Scenes that finished on Friday. And offended Muslim visitors called for the pieces to be taken down, according to the Times. Calling it Rainbow Scenes there, maybe there's a hint of homosexuality in that artwork as well. And of course, America is trying to promote homosexuality around the world. Sadly, Trump has said that that's a big goal of his foreign policy, is to promote sodomy. Osama Hassan, head of Islamic studies at the think tank Quilliam, claimed the pieces of art were really dangerous, alleging it's the satanic verses all over again. And the Quilliam Foundation claimed to be against extremism, but they're really just a sort of front for the extremists, really. Tommy Robinson was associated with them for a while, and he left them. And if Tommy Robinson is going to leave them, I mean, Tommy Robinson is really only a civic nationalist, then these guys have got to be fake, basically. And they're claiming that this art is really dangerous. The Satanic Verses, which is what they were referring to, a novel written by Salman Rushdie, which was critical of Islam, resulted in the Ayatollah of Iran issuing a fatwa against Rushdie, calling for his death. Rushdie spent years in hiding with police protection following the incident. And I believe he's still in hiding. He still needs protecting for writing a book. And he wouldn't need this if we didn't have these Muslims in our countries. I mean, it's perfectly fine for them to ban all of this and consider it blasphemy in Arabic countries. But to do that in the West, in Europe, our leaders need to be held to account for bringing them here. Because it's not like we didn't know that this is the sort of way that they behave. Fear about reprisals for so-called blasphemy against Islam in the West has led to multiple publications and media outlets to self-censor. This has come particularly in the wake of incidents such as the Charlie Hebdo massacre, in which journalists were gunned down in France for publishing a cartoon of the Muslim prophet Muhammad. Of course, there was a competition in America to draw a picture of the prophet Muhammad, and there was a foiled terrorist plot. Thankfully, it got foiled, but the whole place was going to get shot up by Muslims. Instances of self-censorship include the Times article that originally published this story, which has opted not to depict the artwork, but rather has shown it only covered in cloth as it appeared in the gallery. And this report actually comes from Breitbart. Interesting there that they are complaining about the Times censoring this by not depicting the artwork. I doubt very much whether they will be claiming that the Times were censoring the cartoon picture of Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. Their angle will be shock and horror that this anti-Semitic image could be posted there at the Times. So again, double standards there. Noted author and sociologist Frank Furedi said he was disappointed by the decision to censor the artwork, calling it a very dangerous move against artistic freedom. The Saatchi Gallery agreed to cover the work when the artist requested it, with a spokesman telling the Times it seemed a respectful solution that enables a debate about freedom of expression versus the perceived right not to be offended. So it looks like it was the artist that did this. The artist has been intimidated into getting his artwork hidden there. And this perceived right not to be offended. I mean, you have to take an active step yourself in order to be offended. You yourself take offence. Nobody can force you to feel offended. It's a conscious act to be offended by something. It's quite easy to just rise above insults. And in actual fact, that was always what I can remember being taught at school, is that you just rise above insults. Whereas if you're an ethnic minority, of course, you're told that you have a right not to be offended, and you are somehow a victim of an actual crime if anybody says anything that you don't personally like. So this perceived right not to be offended, it goes against basic foundations of Western civilization, I would suggest. The idea that you should rise above insults. If we hadn't learned to rise above insults, we never would have been able to work together and build Christendom in the first place. If we'd just taken offence at criticism and perceived slights against oneself. I mean, I know we did used to have a lot of duels and fighting over people offending somebody's honour, but we learnt to get over that and work together. And we didn't learn to get over it by making it illegal to be offended. We didn't get over it by creating special interest groups that had extra rights compared to everybody else in the country. The gallery itself has previously put works such as Piss Christ, a crucifix submerged in urine, on proud display, flatly rejecting objections from Christians. So again, double standards there. They know that the Christians aren't going to try to burn down the art gallery, so they don't do anything about it. And also, probably because the people that own the art gallery will be Jewish, and a lot of the art world is financed by Jews, and we know how much animosity Jews have towards Christians. They love seeing things like crucifixes dipped in urine. Now, in actual fact, I think part of the Talmud says that when Jews see a cross, they're supposed to curse and they're supposed to spit upon it when they can. So this is just taking that one step further, isn't it? And submerging it in urine and then displaying it as artwork to the Western world. This is far more insulting than a bit of Arabic writing on a bit of flesh. Other institutions have been criticised for covering up art. For example, the National Trust was criticised in November 2018 for covering up portraits and statues depicting men in order to promote female representation, while the Manchester Art Gallery also faced objections in February 2018 when it removed a famous Victorian painting featuring nude nymphs to prompt conversation about the male gaze in the era of Me Too. And that's quite an interesting one. I had a look at what actually went on there. And this was quite a famous painting, and it's got a male guy, and he's looking into a lake, and there are all these alluring women in the lake, and they're trying to allure him in. They're trying to get him to come in and join them. And of course, if he joins them, they will drown him to death. And I think this is quite it's a good painting. It's saying, don't allow yourself to be manipulated by women. So, of course, they were furious about this. The feminists were furious about this, and they got this painting removed. And then you learn that the actual title of the exhibition was In Pursuit of Beauty. So the whole point of the exhibition was to show beauty and the pursuit of beauty, and yet they removed it down. It was criticised, apparently, because it comprised of male artists presenting the female body as decorative and passive. But that's the whole point of looking at beauty, isn't it? Is decorative. So actually we've got three lots of censorship here, haven't we, really? Feminist censorship, Jewish censorship, and Muslim censorship. And of course, being white people, we don't call for the censorship of anything apart from pornography, which gets rammed down our throats every day. Soft pornography on the television, in advertising, in music videos, used to sell us products. And of course, we don't have any say. We don't have any say in it because apparently that's free speech. But speaking up about crimes in Israel, that's not free speech. That's anti-Semitic. Well, I've got some good news here that we can end on, and that is concerning the European Union elections. And guess what? Marine Le Pen's national rally is topping the polls. ahead of French President Emmanuel Macron's party, less than 3 weeks away from European Parliament elections. And Macron's party, I haven't really worked this out before, but it's called En Marche, which is apparently the same as the Labour Party Momentum movement that we have over here in Britain. It's like these communists have got, it's like they've got an organised international European movement that is dedicated to promoting communism, that's funded, organised, you know, all the things that we get accused of as nationalists, having this worldwide conspiracy where we're all working together and we're all funded by Russia and we're all sticking to a script that we've been told to say, because, of course, our talking points don't actually have any facts behind them. But it's great to see that Marine Le Pen is ahead of him. An Ipsos poll released Sunday places Miss Le Pen's populist right party on 22%. Ahead of Mr. Macron's progressive La République En Marche party, which is at 21.5%. In third place is the right establishment Republicans at a distant 13.5%. And unless you think that's just a chance result from that one poll, there are two other recent polls that also put Marine Le Pen's party in the lead. One has her at 23%. Another one at 21.5%. And an Opinion Way poll published Thursday puts the populists on 24%, followed by Macron's party at 21%. The UK's Brexit Party also are doing well. They've been holding first place for a number of weeks now and are maintaining a comfortable lead, with the latest YouGov poll placing Nigel Farage's party at 30%, followed by Labour at 21% and the Tory party at 13%. So Farage's party is actually now over twice as popular than the government, the party that we actually have in power here in the UK. Good news also from Italy, populist Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini. His League party is topping the Index research poll published last week at 32.8%. And the League's anti-establishment governing coalition partner, the Five Star Movement, they are at 22%. And the left-wing Democratic Party is at 20%. The populists are doing spectacularly well there. And you think the Brexit Party and Salvini, both way in the lead there than their nearest rivals. And we've also got a little report here about Marine Le Pen. Apparently she's just been to Bulgaria on Friday to meet up with her populist counterparts from the Volia party. Miss Le Pen praised Mr. Salvini's policies that brought down mass illegal migrant sea landings by 80% in just 1 year, telling Euronews they say up to now that they cannot control the migration problem. But he said, yes, we can control it. And he did control it in Italy. And also we've recently had Viktor Orban talking about how Salvini has shown that it can be stopped by sea, and Orban has shown that it can be stopped by land. And don't forget, both of those countries are still within the EU, so Britain could quite easily do the same, whether we leave the EU or not. Marine Le Pen has been making the rounds in Europe recently, promoting the populist supergroup of parties hailing from Germany, Austria, Sweden and others, including Salvini's League Party. During a campaign rally in Brussels on Sunday, Le Pen said in comments reported by Politico, "As right-wing parties, we have long remained isolated in Europe. Now we have a chance to change Europe from the inside. An à la carte Europe is possible, a Europe of collaboration between nations." Miss Le Pen described the two political fronts during a campaign rally in Prague in late April, where she said federalists and EU supporters want the dilution of the nations for the benefit of an oligarchy of civil servants and experts. On the other side, there are the patriots of all countries. Us. So we really are seeing a populist uprising here in Europe, which I do find inspiring and encouraging. And I think this is going to be the best EU election that we've ever had. I think we're going to do better than we ever have done before. And we could end up with the majority party, or the majority group of parties in the EU. We could end up with populists having a large group. That's if Farage can simmer down his ego a little bit and not mind not being the actual leader of the group, because that's what I like to see, is the Brexit party joining Salvini and Le Pen's group, along with UKIP. I mean, we need all the populist parties to put their differences aside and join up with this big supergroup. And then they can really start to make some changes just by preventing the passing of any more legislation from the European Commission. I mean, that would be a good thing that they can start with, because we know they don't have that much power, but that is one thing that they could do. Anyway, great news from the polls at the moment. And of course, don't forget, these polls are usually, they're usually exaggerating how low the populists actually are, because a lot of people will be too frightened to actually admit that they support populist or nationalist parties when they're asked. So these results may even be higher when we actually get to the polling day in a couple of weeks. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Jaeger. God bless and hail victory.